Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Thank you. Well, it's good to be back. We've been gone for a month. Been ministering up in northern Minnesota. We go back for one more week next Sunday. So it's good to be back. Good to be with you. Do want to just make mention for that one detail was left out of the shower, this tool shower and man's blessing for John. We will be serving a meal. So guys, come hungry. And even if you can't bring a gift, bring a blessing. Bring an impartation. You have something much more awesome that you can offer than a simple gift. Anyone can do that. But how many of you know, we've been doing this in this church for a number of years, how many of you know us who are a bit older can give away what we've learned? And with words, yes, but also with the laying on of hands and impartation. And that's the real purpose of it. It's about imparting a man's blessing. And so we value that. And we value what you carry that you can give away. I want to, can you put that first scripture up? As I was preparing, the Lord reminded me of the scripture, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season?" The Lord reminded me of this scripture this week. Don Fotenhauer spoke it over me when they set me in as pastor back in 1992, I guess it was. And I began to ask the Lord for a word in season. And I want to bring a timely word, and I want to answer at least in part a question, and that is this: what on earth is going on? What on earth is going on? And so I'm probably going to minister a little bit in a prophetic vein this morning, which kind of is code speak for I don't know what I'm doing, for sure. But we're just going to see what the flow is, but I know that anytime you minister prophetically, how many of you know, you just see, we prophesy in part, we see in part, and so this is not the whole answer of what on earth is going on, but I believe it is a part, and it is a piece of what on earth is going on, and it is a piece that is most relevant to you and I. Okay, turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Want to read a portion of scripture there? First Peter. Where did I get Timothy? Prophetic. First Timothy. First Peter. Geez, maybe I better look at First Timothy. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. And grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you." What on earth is going on? What on earth is going on, I believe, is that the glory of man is beginning to show itself for what it is across the globe. How many, not all of us, but I know Marcy and I and many of us in this room came to the Lord when we came to the end of ourselves. Now, not all of us, and you who didn't and who have come to the Lord without having to come to the end of yourself in the sense of go through all kinds of hell and all kinds of to recognize your need for a Savior, those of you who didn't, you have the real testimony. That's the awesome testimony. So often we glorify testimonies of people who made a mess and then God intervened. But the real testimony is those who, by the grace of God, never made a mess with their life. But the reality is that all of mankind, I believe, in the hour in which we're living, the glory, all of mankind is seeing that all flesh is as grass and as the flower. And we see it on every arena on the planet Earth. And with news and everything that we have, we probably would not see it as clearly as we do now. But in every arena of life, there is an unraveling of that which man can do. And the naturalness of man, apart from God, is being seen for what it is, and all of the accomplishments that maybe in years past have been celebrated in every arena is being, the curtains or the covers are being pulled back. We see it in the political arena with men's and women's lives and just the mess. We see it in the sports arena. We see it in arts and entertainment. We see it in every facet of society, not just in this nation, but around the world. We see the depravity of man showing forth for what it really is. And that which was once celebrated and that which once was given awards for, now the awards mean nothing because the curtain is being pulled back and it's like, so what? And the glory of man, as we just read, is beginning to show for what it really is. Because over the years, man has celebrated the glory of man. And you get awards for the glory of man. And you get plaques to put on your wall for the glory of man. And you get ribbons and you get this and you get that. And it's all beginning to show for what it really is. It is nothing. When you compare it to the all-surpassing glory of God. And so there's an unraveling that is going on. And it doesn't matter what sphere you look at, whether it's politics, government, science, financial, arts and entertainment, or your individual life. Many of us here this morning, I suspect, are in a season where we are not as in control as we once were. It might be in relationships, it might be in job, it might be in any avenue of our lives, but there is a coming awareness of how weak man is apart from God. And even you and I who are believers, even how weak those areas of our lives are that have not been surrendered to God. Or that we're still working and walking out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so what on earth is going on is mankind is coming to the end of himself. Because we know, you and I know, that there God has promised, and he will, is going to bring an awesome end time harvest. And he's preparing the earth for that harvest. He's preparing the soil. And part of the preparation is an awareness across the globe that, oh, we need God. Help! Now, that's where we're headed. That isn't where most of the world is right now. Most of the world right now is trying to figure it out. I appreciated what Henry said about the revelation the Oriental man had that, whoa. This peace thing is way bigger than you think when you look at the reality of Scripture. And it is men and mankind at our very best still fall short. And so if you're here this morning and you just feel like inadequate, good. That's where we're headed. And that's where all of mankind is headed, I believe. I believe that is what is going on the earth. Do you remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said to Jesus now, your Jesus, he said to Jesus, good teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, and this is Bob and Ease, this is my version, but Jesus said, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing calling me good? There is only one good, and that is God. Jesus was standing in the flesh of a man. And he took exception when this man called him good. It says in John chapter 2 that Jesus, you know, they wanted to make him king and all kinds of things. And it says Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in man, and no one needed to testify to him what was in man. There is a lot of good that man does that is offensive to God. Luke Anderson, is Luke here this morning? No. Luke Anderson prophesied something once years ago. I've got it written in my Bible. The strength of man is an offense to God. And we need to understand that. And what God is about in this day across the globe is he is revealing the weakness of man. Us guys like to put a heavy emphasis on macho, on we can get her done. But the reality is the secret to sonship is weakness. The secret that God is trying to reveal, and it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter who we are. We talk about Israel, but Paul said concerning Israel, he said, my heart's desire, my prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear witness, they've got a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. And they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish a righteousness which is of man, self-righteousness, and therefore do not submit to the righteousness which is of God. You can talk about Israel all you want, but they need a Savior. And you can talk, see, they're living under an old covenant. Now, that's better than no covenant, which most of the world is under. Think about it. At least Israel has a covenant with God. Most of the world doesn't. Gentiles didn't, don't, you didn't. God gets blamed for all kinds of things, and it's like he says, we don't even have a covenant. It's like me calling up State Farm and being all upset because they didn't cover me for insurance when I never even met them. I never even watched their ads. I never even made the phone call. I never even invited them in. Covenant is very important to God. And you and I appreciate what Dave said. I value very much the Old Testament, but I don't value the Old Covenant. That was inadequate. It's dead and passing away, the writer of Hebrews said. There's a new covenant. Now, I want to say again, there's a big difference between the Old Covenant and the Old Testament. I value the Word of God, but I don't value the covenant. It has been replaced, not added onto, not an addendum. It has been replaced. And so there is, and you might be feeling it even in your own soul, there is this diminishing of the glory of man. And what we, and I, when I say man, I mean men and women. Women, don't you look that way. And so on every level, it's like the covers are being pulled back. One of the people that mentored Marcy and I in our early years were Jay and Audrey Bunker. And Jay used to say something that I heard him say early on in my life, and I knew when I heard it, it was the word of the Lord, and it was this: never be overly impressed or depressed with any person. And over the years, I found out why. Marcy and I were meeting with a couple who were involved in ministry and discovered betrayal. And they were just, especially the gal, she was just devastated by hurt. She was shocked that these people would do this to her. They were so close, so trusted, and she was so wounded. And she said in tears, "Who can I trust?" And I just waited because I wanted her to come to the answer. Because this This is what I'm talking about this morning. You can trust God. There is a eroding in the trust of man. Thank God. I mean, across the globe. And even, you know, we look, and it doesn't matter whether you're talking Republican or Democrat or independent. It isn't about parties. There is an eroding of a morality and of character, and it is beginning to show the depravity of man apart from God. And I'm going to get, if you feel like, boy, this is a doom and gloom message, I am going to get to the good news in a little bit, because our text does. In fact, our text is about the good news. But we're answering the question, what's going on in the world? Why? What? Why this? Why that? You turn on the news, and it's like, I'm not going to watch the news. Well, the news will follow you. And so there's this mess over here, and there's this mess over here, and there's this mess over here, and there's this mess over here. And it's all driven by men, people, men and women, humanity. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is like the flower on the grass. Let me ask you, what goes first, the grass or the flower? The flower. The secret to our walk with God is not strength, it is weakness, and Jesus modeled that for us. This same Jesus who got bent out of shape, in my opinion, I mean, not, you know, the same Jesus who said, don't call me good. Don't do that. This same Jesus said, I can do nothing. See, he understood the limitation of humanity. He understood his own limitation. He was all man. He was all God, but he was all man. And the reality is that the only way he could exhibit his all-godness is pull it from the same source you and I do, his relationship with his Father. That's what he put on display. And so he says, this Jesus, your Jesus, my Jesus, says, I can do nothing. And that's the place that you and I must come to, and that is the place that God is wanting to bring all of humanity to, the place where we say, I can do nothing unless I pull it from God. Jesus said, look at these works. Aren't they my Father's works? Listen to these words. Are they not my Father's words? This is why it unsettled him when this man called him good. Because the man was missing the whole message. About the man Christ Jesus. It was about his Father, who was the source, who was the giver of the authority he walked in, the power he walked in. Well, let's throw in the towel and go home then. Sheesh. This is encouraging, Pastor. Well, it is, because we want to read our text. Let's read it again. Since you, having purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass, and the grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. But the word of the Lord endures forever. But the word of the Lord endures forever. What confidence can we have in this day then is in the Word of God, in the Word of the Lord, in the declaration. He goes on to say, which is the gospel which you have believed or received? See, when the Bible says, and we just read it, we were born again of an incorruptible seed, it isn't just a cute little metaphor to define our old life and now our new life. It is a spiritual reality with God. You were born again, and you are not of the nature you once were. And there is not a depravity about your new nature. There is a holiness, and there is a righteousness. And there is a God-likeness. But it all flows out of the Word of the Lord. See, the sustaining force in your life is not your devotion to God. It is His Word residing in you. It is that incorruptible seed. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It carries with it a life of all its own. And if you're here this morning and you've walked with God for some years and you feel like you've attained to something, I want you to know and understand the source of that is the message that you believed. The power is not in the messenger, it's in the message. The power is not in the soil, it's in the seed. The life is never in the soil, it's in the seed. And I want to encourage you with the gospel that you've believed and the message of the Word of the Lord and the ongoing Word of God that is resonating and does resonate to you, that sustains you and makes you different and makes you a new creation, that makes you born again and keeps you that way, keeps you as a new creation with old things passing away. But don't be amazed if there's times and seasons where you feel like you can't do it. What a shock. Many people never ever get victory in the Christian faith because they feel like they're too weak. And if we would get the message that that's the whole purpose, and just acknowledge that we are, things begin to come together for us because God takes over. We have a good friend. Years ago, he had a vision. And there was a body on an operating table, and he was dressed, the man having the vision, was dressed in surgical gown and all of that. And Jesus was standing beside him, also dressed in surgical gown and all of that. And they're about to do surgery. And in the vision, my friend picks up the scalpel and he starts to do surgery. And all of a sudden, he realizes the door just slammed and Jesus walked out. So he put down the scalpel, ran to the door and said, "Wait, Jesus, where are you going?" And Jesus said, "If you're going to do this, I don't want to be here. It's going to be a bloody mess." How many times do we, you know, it's like the man who started to slide off the roof and he said, "God help me, God help me, God help me, God help me, God help me," all the way down the roof. Just as he gets to the bottom, his pant loop hooks on a nail. He stops just on the edge. He says, "Oh, forget it, God, I got it." Oh, I made my granddaughter cry. How many times, see, we are co-laborers with Him. We don't do stuff for Jesus, we do it with Him. And if there's surgery to be done, you better make sure He's got the scalpel, not you. And there is this way in which God, across the globe, in varying levels, is, we're experiencing in our own life, and I believe many of you are in your life, are experiencing the reality of, oh, wow, we really need Him. More than we thought. I know it says he's the vine and I am the branch, but he is the vine. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 12, very familiar portion of Scripture, beginning at verse 25. Now, I want you to notice, we're going to be talking about just what's going on around the earth. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. But I want you to notice the lead-in to that concerning the Word of God, concerning the message. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Those whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, let once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken, as of those things which are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we have are receiving a kingdom, everybody say, are receiving. This is what this is about. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Your posture and my posture in this day when there is shaking going on every arena must be to listen attentively to the voice that speaks not from earth but from heaven. It is the thing that will carry us. It is the thing that separates you and I from those who do not know God. It is that voice that invited us in, brought us in. It is believing and receiving that voice that brought us into the new covenant with God. It is necessary for you and I to be a people of stability when all hell is breaking loose. But my message to us this morning isn't that we do it by trying harder. I appreciated what Dave was talking about early on in the service. It's about letting go of the glory of man that we might make room for the glory of God. And so if you're here this morning and you find that your life is being shaken a little bit, maybe in the career arena, maybe in finances, maybe in relationships, maybe, you know, I don't know. But just know that it is for your good and for your gain. But put a confidence, put a great confidence in the Word of God. Whether here in the book or words that God has spoken to you, things you have heard, things you have journaled, things you've written, you've heard in the secret place, put a great confidence in what you've heard and do not doubt the message in the dark that you heard in the light. Hold fast to the message. Hold fast to what you've heard. Hold fast to what you know, not of the character of man. Don't be dismayed. Don't be overly depressed or impressed with man, people. Does that mean that I just isolate myself from everyone? No. We need one another. But be very wise who you yoke yourself with. In these days, Do not be unequally yoked. This is for somebody. I don't know who this is for. Be very careful that you are not unequally yoked with those who you join and lock arms with. Because in times of shaking, they may be shaken. Many of you have dreams and visions and hopes, and it's like, God, what on earth is going on? Oh, he's just bringing the vision to pass in his way, in his time, by his strength instead of by yours. That's all. The reality is that when God speaks a word, and he's spoken words to you, whether written in the book, over to you, or to you personally through a prophetic declaration that you judge to be accurate, or through words that he has downloaded to you in your secret place, things you have journaled, those things that he has spoken will not return void, but they will accomplish that which he pleased. But some of those words are like rain and some of them are like snow. Some of them just sit for a while like snow, waiting for the time and the season when it melts and it waters the earth and it brings forth seed for the sower and bread for the eater. But in the time of waiting, do not doubt the word. That's what makes you and I different. We have a declaration over our life that those who don't know him don't have. We have the word of God. And though all flesh is as grass, the word of God endures forever. And though in your humanity and in your weakness, there may be, you, in your opinion, a deteriorating of the vision, of the hope, of the dream, hang on to it. Every seed must fall to the ground and die before it brings forth fruit. Don't be amazed what you see in the newspaper. Don't be amazed what you read. Don't be amazed at the weakness of man. You know, one of the earmarks of things unraveling is no choice of leaders. That's all I'm going to say. Leadership on the earthly level is gone. It's like even the best is, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I want to give a unique altar call this morning. And by the way, anytime there's an altar call made, it doesn't mean it's for you. No, I mean really. I mean, so I want to say this, because sometimes I know we do things and we call people forward, and there's people sitting in the back, and I've always wanted to say the people sitting in the back, rest with where you're at. I mean, if this, whatever's going on up here, doesn't draw you, then rest that you're where you are instead of up here. We'll get you next time. But that's important, because even in that, it's like this pressure to perform, and all of that is just the glory of man. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But I do want to give an altar call for those who sincerely, and don't come forward if it's not for you, but if you sincerely have been in a place of brokenheartedness and of depleted vision, and I'm probably going to put it so broad, you're just waiting. It just seems like you've been waiting. And you feel like you've come to the weakness of yourself, and it's like, God, what on earth is going on? If that's you, come forward. I don't even know what I'm saying, but those of you who heard this message do. I'm going to ask if Marcy will join me, and I'm going to ask if Rob and Suzanne as prayer partners will join us, as a ministry team this morning. And the reality is we're not going to pray for you. Because we just said it, we just preached it. It's got to come from God, and it's got to be the word of God, and it's got to be the word of the Lord. But I want to encourage you in things God has spoken over you, and I want you to be encouraged, not in what you see, not what you smell, what you hear, what you feel, what on earth is going on. I want you to be encouraged with what you've heard from heaven concerning whatever it is. Just begin to receive from God. We're gonna come along, Rob and Suzanne. We're not gonna so much pray for you because we just want to impart. We want to stand. We want to mix our faith with your faith and just release hope, release peace, release confidence. My trust is that the Lord will speak to you while you're up here this morning. Those of you who are out there, you have an important role. Stretch out your hand to them. Intercede. Stand in the gap. In fact, if you want to come and stand behind some of these, you come on up. Just put your hand on their shoulder. Just stand with them. Maybe the Lord will put a person on your heart to stand with. We're in this together. And if your vision is our vision, your dream is our dream, your hope is our hope, your hurt is our hurt, we're a family. But we're standing together as a family today and saying, we will not let go just because of the weakness of the glory of man. And we will keep our confidence in the glory of God.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.